Is it gambling, skill, or both? Yahoo gets scrutinized in the investigation into fantasy sports. From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. The investigation into the daily fantasy sports industry now includes a look at Yahoo, according to multiple reports this morning. New York's Attorney General has already moved to halt the activities of two major fantasy sports websites, FanDuel and DraftKings. Yahoo also does some of this. Marketplace's Annie Baxter joins me now. Remind us how these sites work.
Well, for a fee, the sites allow people to create pretend teams of players who are pulled from a bunch of different real sports teams. And depending on how those fantasy teams perform, customers can potentially win cash prizes.
And these sites might be illegal in certain states?
Yeah, the sites have been able to operate based on the notion that they're games of skill, not of chance, which would differentiate them from illegal gambling. But the New York Attorney General says they are just games of chance, and he says FanDuel and DraftKings have, in some cases, even construed themselves as essentially gambling operations.
But how does Yahoo fit into this?
Well, Yahoo's actually pretty much running the same kind of operation with its daily fantasy sports site. And apparently it's been gaining ground on FanDuel and DraftKings. One research firm puts Yahoo at number 3 behind those other sites. And it's reportedly now getting subpoenaed, but it was not named in the injunction that the New York AG sought to keep FanDuel and DraftKings from operating in his state.
All right, it's all a multi-billion dollar industry. Marketplace's Annie Baxter, thank you. And now a brief trip into the bowels of the industrial economy. Put on your protective mask. There's news today that bottled gas company Air Liquide of France wants to buy Airgas of Pennsylvania for $10.3 billion. Airgas, among other things, is big into pharmaceutical-grade nitrous oxide. A lengthy review by antitrust authorities expected. Not a sexy story, you say? Au contraire. Why, the Rolling Stones wrote a song about this industry. Fill in the blank. Jumpin' Jack Flash is a... Right? The 100 share index in London is down 0.3%. The CAC 40 in Paris is down 0.8%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are mixed. Since the Affordable Care Act, millions of Americans at least have the option, if not the obligation, to shop for coverage. A report today from the Kaiser Family Foundation finds for consumers on the federal exchange called healthcare.gov, it pays to spend some time poking around. From Marketplace's Health Desk at WHYY, Dan Gorenstein reports.
We know last year, most healthcare.gov shoppers sought out plans with low, low monthly premiums. But the Kaiser Family Foundation's Larry Levitt warns the low-cost plan this year is probably not the low-cost plan in 2016.
So in 73% of counties, if they do nothing, they will find themselves no longer in the low-cost plan.
Under Obamacare, most people are automatically re-enrolled in their plan if they don't shop. The report shows savings really vary, from a few dollars to more than $1,500. The Robert Wood Johnson Foundation's Kathy Hempstead says the good news is folks on the exchanges have reported in a survey they're willing to do what many of us detest.
I think that these consumers totally get that they should shop, and, you know, they intend to shop.
Hempstead says consumers chasing lower premiums carries its own risks, though. Sure, you could save $500, but you probably have to switch doctors, hospitals, even medications. The question is whether that's a good deal. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Rational economics doesn't always govern how we make decisions about our money in the real world. Today, the Marketplace Wealth and Poverty Desk is kicking off a series called Brain Drain. We're exploring ways in which our minds are kind of rigged to cost us money. This morning, a conversation about when to spend your savings. Sounds like a simple question. Financial advisors tell us to stash money away in a safe place and don't touch it. Turns out, we can be too protective of our stockpiles. Abigail Sussman is a behavioral economist, and she's also professor of marketing at the University of Chicago's Booth School of Business. Professor, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, see, I always thought that all these commercials that we face every day in, day out, urging us to consume, win out over the countervailing push to get us to save. But your research shows that sometimes we can go too far, in a sense, with our savings. In what way?
So the point of a lot of the research that I've been doing isn't to say that people are saving too much. It's that they don't know when they should be spending their savings. And so in particular, I'm looking at cases where people know that they will be spending and are now trying to figure out how they're going to finance that spending. And what we find is that people actually will turn to credit instead of actually spending money from their savings. People feel responsible by keeping money in those savings accounts, and they feel irresponsible when they take money from the savings accounts. And so this desire to remain feeling responsible can actually lead people to turn to the costly borrowing.
We do have to appreciate here that people are worried that they'll raid the savings, which may be economically rational compared to borrowing at high interest rates, but we're afraid we're not going to pay ourselves back. I mean, that's often what motivates that behavior, I would imagine.
Exactly. And so one of the things that we find in our paper that can actually help people is by encouraging them to utilize an automatic replenishment feature, let's say. So when people pre-commit to setting aside a specific amount of money each month to rebuilding the money that they have in their savings accounts, then this actually makes them, number one, more likely to use the money from savings for another use that they need right away, and number two, more likely to have the money set aside for the purpose that they want it when that point comes about.
I get it. I mean, people are constantly trying to set up installment plans for you so you buy something you can't afford. Why not set up an installment plan at a bank for yourself so you pay yourself back? That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. As long as you're not buying too many extra things as a result.
Abigail Sussman at the University of Chicago's Booth School of Business. Her co-author in this research is Rourke O'Brien at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Professor, thank you.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's 8 p.m., American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.